Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I am 73. I work 40 hours a week. I take Balance of Nature pretty much religiously. One day, about 2 weeks ago, I cleaned a house that was 3.5 hours, another one that was 2.5 hours, another one that was 3.5 hours, and then I cleaned a commercial building and then cleaned half of another building. I got home at 10 o'clock at night. And who can do that at 73? Balance of Nature actually gives me quite a bit of energy. It's just amazing that fruits and vegetables could actually fix your problems. I don't have to have like coffee and whatever. I just take these and I have the energy.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Show. Remember, communism jokes aren't funny unless everybody gets them. The show starts now.
I am William Wallace, and I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men, and free men you are. What will you do without freedom? Will you fight? No!
We will run!
And we will live. Aye? Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live.
At least a while.
And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to train all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't remember that speech? Boy, I'm doing two Mel Gibsons in 1 week. That's weird. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. And this hour, I would like to invite you to call in. I know a lot of you have a lot on your mind right now. And I know that it's been really tough. I think eye-opening tough. And I honestly don't know if I'll ever be able to ever see this hijacking of America, this administration, this group of globalist thugs. I can't see them as leaders of my country, and I can't address them as such. It's very, very difficult because I know they stole this. They took it. They have engaged in many things over many decades. Joe Biden spent 45 years of a career never standing for a thing. And so with that said, you know, I was listening today to his really snarky a press secretary address the obvious, and I just wanted to share this clip with you because this is pretty much how it's going to look for the next several years. This is her answering a press question at the press conference. Here we go.
Why weren't President Biden and all members of the Biden family masked at all times on federal lands last night if he signed an executive order that mandates masks on federal lands at all times?
At the inaugural
Memorial, yes.
I think, Steve, he was celebrating an evening of a historic day in our country, and certainly he signed the mask mandate because it's a way to send a message to the American public about the importance of wearing masks, how it can save tens of thousands of lives. We take a number of COVID precautions, as you know, here in terms of testing, social distancing, mask wearing ourselves, as we do every single day. But I don't know that I have more for you on it than that.
But as Joe Biden often talks about, it is not just important the example of power, but the power of our example. Was that a good example for people who are watching who might not pay attention normally?
Well, Steve, I think the power of his example is also the message he sends by signing 25 executive orders, including almost half of them related to COVID, the requirements that we're all under every single day here to ensure we're sending that message to the public. Yesterday was a historic moment in our history. He was inaugurated as president of the United States. He was surrounded by his family. We take a number of precautions, but I think we have bigger issues to worry about at this moment in time.
Hypocrisy knows no bounds.
That was from Tombstone. Hypocrisy knows no bounds. Did you see her just not know what to say? Because the utter hypocrisy is going to be really tough to deal with. It is. It's going to be real hard. And I understand that. I know you get it too. But we have a lot of lessons to learn, and I hope this show can serve as a catalyst over the next 4 years as how to honestly take a look in the mirror. How do we shift and change tactics and deal with this? Because we're not going to be the only ones in history that have done this. You know, looking back in history, it's such a great teacher. And looking back at the civilizations, you know, the events around Spartacus and the Roman slaves started with 78 people starting to rebel. And you know what? Everything has always worked like that. It's always worked in small groups, and then it moves forward. And I always look at, you know, the obvious, what they're most afraid of. They're really afraid of us understanding that it's a lot of smoke and mirrors behind a lot of power, because nothing can be traced back to the Constitution. So the Constitution, the law of the land, does not give them the things that the ability to do the things they're doing. So how do we find the smoke and mirrors? How do we take that fight and make sure that we can get some things done that bring their power in a little bit? That, because I know everybody's feeling this way. They've got the Senate, the Congress, and the presidency. They've got it all. They must have John Roberts bought and sold, because that court case of Texas should have gone down. It should have happened. And so they've got the judicial. They've got a lot of judges in their pockets. They've spent a lot of time. In fact, what did they do? What were they so good at? They went into the cities and the counties, and they started doing their little overhaul back in the low 90s. They started going in with Agenda 21. And when they started going in with Agenda 21, what did they do? They went into small groups to actually sort of start to take over cities and counties, and then have different avenues of oppression built from those small groups. Well, and then less voices were heard locally. So what do we have to do then? We have to do the same thing. We have to go into local, and we have to start working that way. And it's going to be a really important aspect of how we move forward, for sure. I know a lot of you might be feeling grief, and I can understand why, because I felt the same way. I'm just grieving for our country. And you know why? Because it's hitting home. The masks, they're going straight to mandatory vaccine. They're going after a lot of industries where people's jobs are at stake. It's hitting home finally. It used to be an ideology fight more. It used to be what's happening in Washington. But when people truly weren't feeling it in their wallet or in their person or in the ability to travel or in their ability to shop or in their ability to do anything, it doesn't ever really give the same lesson, does it? Unless it's hitting home. And so I know that the grief you're probably feeling now, we really should have been feeling all along. And I think we have been to a certain extent, but this is an overdrive, and I get why. And so for those who love our country and our culture, the pain is real, because you're seeing their ability to think that they've got all this power and they can move forward and do all of these things. We're going to have to get really good at wordsmithing. We're going to have to get really good at shooting holes through a lot of the stuff they're putting out. But the grief is important to manage. And, you know, of course, we go through from bondage to spiritual growth, right? Great civilizations are formed in the crucible. The ancient Jews were in bondage for 400 years in Egypt. The Christian faith, the church, came out of 300 years of persecution. We had the Roman Empire. We have all of these things, the fierce barbarian tribes. And then we go from spiritual growth to great courage. And the important thing about that is people who have little or nothing also have little or nothing to lose, and are often more willing to live for something more important than themselves and their own pleasure. And that battle begins, that battle requires courage. So you go from courage to liberty. And as a result of that courageous fight, then, of course, great things can happen, because at this point, a civilization comes forth. It's rooted in its ideals. And then you have those that have been through a little bit of history helping to guide that. Heroism, virtues, all of these things that we know are right and true, right? From liberty comes abundance. And this is why I talked about yesterday or a couple of days ago that capitalism was never in the Constitution. Free enterprise was never in the Constitution because it was a result. It was the result of the Constitution. And so our abundance, our great prosperity has been a blessing and a curse, because the blessing is, what do we all strive for? You want to have happy lives, prosperous lives. But what does it do to us? It makes us more complacent. How often did you go out and did you study who the campaign candidates were? Or did you see an R and a D and you went, I guess I'll vote for them? How often did you then, a year into office, did you look back and assess the career of your local person in office or your congressman or your senator? This is where we went wrong. And so this is where being prosperous and going to work and trying to get as prosperous as we can, which is not a bad thing, but in some ways it kept us from always putting in about 20-25% of our life into maintaining liberty. Most people haven't put a single second into maintaining liberty. And I do believe when we die, we're going to be asked that question. I really do. What did you do for liberty? What did you do? And so from liberty to abundance, at the same time, these struggles don't always bode well for us, because then what happens? Abundance to complacency. And then from complacency to apathy, right? From apathy to dependence, and from dependence back to bondage. And this has been the cycle. Now, there's a couple of things about this. Number one, it shows the weaknesses, right? Because as a group of people, we can do big things. But that group of people can go through this as well. And right now, we're going back into dependence and dependence back into bondage. And so how do we halt that? How do we stop it? What did people do? What is their example? When I had Harold on the show last Friday, what a great show. Please share that, because what he said was crucial. It was crucial. They started meeting in small groups. I know Melissa, co-host Melissa, started her own prayer group, right? 10 people prayer group. Because this is how you start to change hearts and minds. And this is where we realize where we're at. And this is how we go and we get the courage. And we start to work with each other, right? And get that sort of baseline foundation again. And that's what we have to do to get back. This is why I don't feel like jumping off a cliff. This is why, because we've seen the cycles in history. If the deep state were that powerful, if they thought they had that much power, okay, we would have never seen the people rise up against them. And we've seen it again in history. So this is a huge lesson for us right now. We also have to look at the ways in which we get duped. We also have to look at the disinformation, misinformation. We have to know how to recognize propaganda better than before. We have to be more keen observers of wordsmithing, the words that they put out. We have to be bill analyzers. We have to go through the bills because our elected representatives refuse to do it. When I get back, I want to share some things with you. Stay with me. Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'. And now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking.
Hi there, welcome back.
And that's just what they'll do.
I love it. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. Glad you're joining me today. And you know, I get the question, how are you feeling? And yeah, the stages of grief are real. But you know what, though? I have to always remember that our generation right now, we haven't had to protect a lot. We haven't had to do a lot, right? We should have been. We should have been. But we really haven't had our metal tested. And then we complain if we are sent in for the metal, you know, testing. And it's, wait a minute, why shouldn't we be tested? Why shouldn't we have to hit this rock bottom and go through this? Why shouldn't we? Other societies, other civilizations have had to do it, you know, and I think we've gotten a little lazy and we don't want anything to change and we want this wonderful life, and I get it. But other societies and civilizations were required to fight for what they had too. Why aren't we? So this is going to be a fight for liberty, and that's okay. That's why we're here. So we've got to you know, get some courage up to fight these fights now. We cannot feel like we are demolished right now. That isn't going to help anything. I also wanted to mention Allison in the next hour. We're going to be talking about men and women because Valentine's Day is coming up, and I'm sure everybody's relationships can get some help and or need some help. And so Allison's going to be coming on. Also, you know, watching Biden, what are the hills to die on? What's the first thing that he did when he got into office? He went for the Paris Treaty. That was important to him because the climate change is their hill to die on. Also, their hill to die on would be energy and just decimating coal. The other one would be COVID. These are their three things that they're most concerned about, okay, that they want to get through, that they want to make sure and use it for control and for taxation and everything else. And so always keep an eye on what's at the top of their list, because what's at the top of their list is also a lot of weakness too, because they're worried about them. They're worried about them. Okay. They're worried we're not falling in line. They're worried that we might read a book, that we might educate ourselves. In Italy, I wanted to share this with you. In Italy, it was quite the story because 50,000 businesses got together, bars and restaurants, to say no, to absolutely just go, we are opening and you're not going to tell us not to. And what's amazing is the articles refuse to say how many of the 50,000 businesses that went into this pact together actually did this, because they want to make it seem like hardly anyone joined in at the last minute. Okay. That's just a defeatist, you know, article. But these restaurants and bars were told that they had to close at a curfew, and they said no. 50,000, you guys, 50,000 businesses, restaurants, I'm sorry, and bars. And we've always said on the show since the beginning of COVID, get 100 businesses, go around and talk to 100 businesses if you're a business owner, and get those businesses to go along with you. Get those businesses to form a pact with you. And as things start to come down, because now they're going to fake the second wave, the third wave, the fourth wave, they're going to tell you it's bigger than ever, deeper than ever. It's because they're combining two flu seasons together. They're going to tell you it's bigger than ever. And they're going to come. I don't think they're relaxing at all. In fact, when people used to say when Biden gets in, COVID goes away, I never believed that. In fact, they love this. They love the control. So, of course, they're going to go on steroids on COVID and vaccine, mandatory vaccine and masking and everything else. So we have to go around now and get businesses to go through those, to blow through their smoke and mirrors. Because guess what, folks? No one's getting fined out there, truly. You'll have maybe one or two cases in the whole United States. Okay. So there are businesses out there that are fighting the fight for us in court. Nothing's happening to them. The judge cannot rule in the favor of the government because they know it's a smoke and mirror. They know there's no laws. Now they're trying to pass those laws so that they have more ammunition against businesses. Businesses, again, are going to have to stand up together. And if 50,000 businesses in Italy are willing to do it, restaurants and bars, why aren't we? We have to blow through those their smoke and mirrors as well. There was a wonderful story about a village in China in 1978. The farmers in a small China village, they gathered in a mud hut to sign a secret contract, and they thought it might get them executed. They thought it might get them executed, not just sent to jail. Everyone's like, "Oh, I might go to jail." No, executed. And it ended up transforming China's economy, and it just took a farmer to speak up, okay? And so what happened was, back in this village, there was never enough food. The farmers often had to go to other villages to beg for food. The children were going hungry. They were desperate. And in the winter of 1978, after another terrible harvest, they came up with this idea. Rather than farm as a collective, they were told, you know, farm as a collective, each family would then get to farm its own plot of land. And if a family could grow a lot of food, the family could keep some of the harvest secretly. Now, this is an old idea, of course, but in communist China of 1978, it was dangerous for the farmers to gather in secret to discuss this. They snuck in one by one to a farmer's home. Like all the farmers in the village, it had dirt floors, mud walls, straw roof, no plumbing, no electricity. They had little to lose. Most people said, yes, we want to do it. Another farmer who was there said, but you know, there were others who said, I don't think this will work. This is a high voltage wire, right? This is like high voltage wire. Back then, farmers had never seen electricity. They'd heard about it. They knew if you touched it, you would die, right? So despite the risks, they decided that they had to try this experiment and to write it down as on a formal contract so everyone would be bound to it. And with an oil lamp lighting the way, they wrote out the contract, and the farmers agreed to divvy up the land among the families secretly without the government knowing. So in the government's eyes, they were still going to be farming a collective. Each family agreed to turn over some of what they grew to the government and to the collective. And crucially, the farmers agreed that families that grew enough food would get to keep it for themselves. The contract also recognized the risks the farmers were taking. If any of the farmers were sent to prison or executed, it said, the others in the group would care for the children under age 18. The farmers tried to keep the contract secret. He hid it in a piece of bamboo in the roof of his house. But when they returned to the fields, everything was different. Before the contract, the farmers would drag themselves out of the field when the village whistle blew, making the start of the workday. And after the contract, the families went out before dawn. We all secretly competed, right? Everyone wanted to produce more, or competed, I'm sorry. Everyone wanted to produce more than the next person. It was the same land, the same tools, the same people, yet their perspective and their drive was different. They changed the economic rules to capitalism. That's what they did. The huge harvest, that huge harvest gave them away, though. And the local officials figured out that the farmers had divvied up the land, and the word of what happened in this little village made it all the way up the chain to the Communist Party chain of command. And at one point, he was hauled in, the guy that started it was hauled into the local Communist Party office, and the officials swore at him, treated him like he was on death row. But fortunately for him, and this is where I always make room for God's miracles, and the other farmers, this moment in history, there were powerful people in the Communist Party who wanted to change China's economy. And the Chinese leader right then would go on to create China's modern economy, was just coming into power. So instead of executing the farmers, the Chinese leaders decided to hold them up as a model. And within a few years, farms all over China adopted the principles in that secret document. The people could grow and what they could own, what they grew. So the government launched all these other economic reforms, and China started to grow like crazy. This is when their whole economic, you know, system started to change. And 500 million people had risen out of poverty in China. Now, they are still under that thumb, that rule, that boot. But, and of course, the Communist Party looked at it as an opportune moment to increase their wealth. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. But these guys were willing to do something to change tactics and to change the way. They were willing to do something and even put their lives on the line, because they knew that if they could change things, it would turn out better for the families, and they weren't getting anywhere, and they were starving. And everything happens in small groups. It's totally amazing to me. Every time you hear of a change, now, did they kick the system to the curb? No. Okay, the communist system. The communist system then gave them an opportunity. They still had to farm for the collective, but they at least got to keep some. Okay. But it was a change. And whenever we're looking at an oppressive government, we have to value those changes. We have to look and see and say, okay, how did they do it? How did they get 78 Roman slaves together to get them the courage to start fighting together, right? How did they do that? How do you get the initial 78? How do you get the initial 10 people to a group? Because these are the ways that you fight, because that turned into, very quickly, that 78 on those Roman slaves turned into 70,000. Because people love the momentum. They watch. when businesses, when 50,000 businesses in Italy decided not to deal with their COVID restrictions and open anyway. This wasn't 50 businesses, restaurants and bars. This was 50,000. This is how many business owners right now, even in Italy, are saying, uh-uh. Can you imagine starting that here? Because you have a lot of people, you have most of America out there that understands that they're hijacking this country. And we understand where we're going to universal payments. They want everybody poor and they want everybody living off the government. So you have a lot of people right now that are just like wanting the momentum, wanting to do something to say, oh, no, you don't. Passing laws on body autonomy, getting the government to pass laws to do vaccines on us without our consent. This is one of the biggest violations of our liberty, that and private property. Those are the two areas that they want to hit. Oregon is trying to put through a bill where government can seize private property in an emergency. These are all the bills. And I'm not looking at the Fed so much because they actually don't have the power they think they do, but they have the influence on your state. They have the influence to do things that the Fed wants to do. They get the states to do them because they're handing out paychecks. They're handing out COVID money. Every state is getting tens of thousands of dollars per COVID case to keep this going. So if we can fight back in the way of, we're not going to listen to you, we're going to make sure you don't pass that law, we are going to, whatever way we go about this, and it's kind of a quiet, it's like a quiet revolution, isn't it? Because you're going, no, we still have a constitution in play. Last time I checked, it's still there. We haven't lost it completely. So we, the people, have to demand that they go back to that document, right? It's kind of like the guy that got fined by OSHA, and this was years ago, and he went up against the government. Well, as it went up the chain of to the Supremes in his state of California, they actually had to acknowledge that OSHA could not fine him, could not make, he didn't have to let them into their business. Now, the guy had to spend $100,000 to do that, to go to court, but he was willing to do it. Nobody else was willing. He was. One person was willing to do it, and it set a precedent. And the courts had to acknowledge that they did not have to let OSHA in and that OSHA could not find them. That's the kind of fight we're talking about. And it's going to be at personal expense and personal time. But we're going to have to do it, and we're going to have to be a generation that gets together to do this. Be right back. Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com, and I'll take all your calls.
Simplified.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Once the religious, the hunted and weary, chasing the promise of freedom and hope, came to this country to build a new vision, far from the riches of kingdom and hope. Like a Christian, someone.
Welcome back, Monster from Steppenwolf. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. I'll take your calls, by the way. It's be a good time to call in and share with me. I think the looks at history and the hope. We have to remind ourselves of some things that have been miraculous too. Make sure you get over to Balance of Nature. This is a wonderful supplement that I know can help you. There are two things I love. One, Balance of Nature, because I just love what it does, and I love the vitamins and the minerals it gives me and my family. There is no product like it, and it's affordable for anybody. You can get 35% off and free shipping. All you have to do is put the code KATE, K-A-T-E, into the code when you go to balanceofnature.com. It asks you when you get there, balanceofnature.com, and you'll get that. Please do that. That is an amazing product. The other one is Kamut Flower, K-A-M-U-T. I love this. My daughter turned me onto this, and it's flour how it used to be made. There's only two growers in the whole United States, and that flour is not processed like we have processed flour today. It's like flour from 80 years ago, and even gluten-free people can eat it, and it tastes amazing. And so I started putting it in all my baked goods and things, and it's amazing. Kamut flour. Foodnanny.com has that. But anyway, there's just, we'll do a whole show on that next week, on things that you and your family enjoy, and things that you've come across that you'd like to share with other people, because this is a great network, a great way to do it. I'm going to invite your calls. The one thing that always strikes me is when we don't step back and really take into context our history. You know, I think God is very mindful of people. And this is why we got America. This is why we were able to free ourselves under the chains of European control and basically escape that and go somewhere. Okay. And so I think there have always been miracles happening to aid us and help us. But we have to, one, have faith, and two, sheer will to make those things happen too. But he's never forgotten people. And because governments become oppressive, like this one, where they're really kind of going after the what every communist country does to their country, does not mean that we cannot fight back in many, many ways, because we have a constitution. See, a lot of other societies didn't even have that advantage. Okay. And when we were under king rule, we didn't have an advantage like this one. We clearly have an advantage like no other in history. Why in the world would we even feel depressed? Because it's not easy? Maybe. Maybe that's why. Maybe we feel like, well, we want it to be easier. We don't really want to have to do anything. We just want somebody else to do it. Or we just want things to work out because this is just crazy. Well, that's not going to happen. So knowing the fact that we've got all this advantage of the Constitution that was fought and bled for, we actually should be pretty happy at this point in history going, you know what? You think you want to come in here and hijack this? Oh, no. Because still, 70% of this nation understands what I'm saying. 30% kind of gone, but 70%, we have the majority. That's huge. They're just a more silent majority right now, right? So we have to remember that. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Well, so much of everything, so much of the solution is tied to education.
Mm-hmm.
The education of the conspiracy of the people that are, have a stranglehold over our country, that are carrying all this out, education of what their plans are to enslave us,
mm-hmm.
Even the motivation, the more educated you get on what's happening, and that includes our education of freedom, the ideology of freedom our country is founded upon, and the Constitution, but the more educated you get, the more motivated you get. If you're being shot at, you're motivated to move.
Yeah.
People just realized what they had planned for them, they would get very, very motivated to act. You wouldn't need courage. You're not courageous mm-hmm. when you're getting shot at to run.
Right, right.
So that's really important here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's education. I think it's less than 5% of the population are adequately educated to stand up against. One of the reasons why they don't even understand or embrace freedom or the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
They keep voting for candidates. Vast, vast majority of all candidates, Republicans and Democrats, are violating the law constantly. You were mentioning King Rule just a second ago. We are essentially in a dictatorship. President after president, and the media and the schools have mm-hmm. been trained us to accept that. Biden has been up there citing all these executive orders that have no authority, no more than you have that authority to carry out. The previous president was pushed us a great deal in the same direction, and now we just sit back and accept it. News stations, Fox News, and so forth. Well, is this executive order? No one's saying these are unlawful.
Mm-hmm.
He has no authority. They're dictatorial. So that's part of the education. We have to understand what freedom is. You have to understand the concept of individual rights. Our country was founded upon.
You know what I would suggest, too, is thank you for the call, is reading Bastiat the Law. That would be everybody's first step. Bastiat the Law. It's a great book. And thank you, caller. You nailed that. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Well, hey, Kate.
Hi there.
Since you're on the topic of, you know, doing things locally mm-hmm. and piggybacking off one of your other callers, I don't know how many people have investigated the 1776 project that
mm-hmm.
Donald Trump worked on.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own website now. I believe that they're also with Hillsdale College. If you want a curriculum that is going to teach our children what it means to, you know, be American
mm-hmm.
and what our founding fathers went through in a very compact, succinct, wonderful synopsis,
okay.
please please, please check that out. Go to your school board and say, we want to teach this.
Yes.
We want this in our classroom, right?
I agree. We want
to have truth in our classroom with our students.
Yep, I totally agree with that. Thank you for the call. I really, really appreciate that. It was a great, great point. And thank you. I'm going to try and get some more callers in. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. I'm sorry. Go ahead and give us a call, 888-673-1450. I'd love to take your call. Where do you stand right now? I just think we need a little kick in the butt. I really do. I think we wanted this to be a lot easier and we realized it isn't. And now it's hitting home. And now we're having a tough time because we're like, wow, they are really going to go full force. Of course they do. They don't know any other way. They don't know any other way than to go full force into communism. That's their only road. And so, and globalism. It's really about globalism. I say communism a lot, but it's really globalism because it's going into the, it's basically taking everyone's sovereignty and then joining them into a globalist government is the goal. And that's why the first thing he did was to go after and get us back into the Paris Treaty. That's why. This is all about globalism at its heart. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi there.
I think Trump decided if he had too many enemies in the global system.
Maybe.
And the thing is, it's the middle class. And
right.
Young people that would aspire to be middle class.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to be a billionaire, but I don't want to eat out of a garbage can either. But
yeah.
He exposed them for what they are.
Yeah.
That's
now,
what Trump did.
So now what do we do
and
with
I
the
wish
exposing?
I read Julian Assange. That was a mistake.
Yep, I agree.
Thanks, Kate.
I agree. Thank you. And what are we going to do now with the exposing? What are we going to do? How do we now deal with that and put that to use? That is going to be obviously the next question. All right, quick call. Go right ahead, caller.
Hey, Kate.
Hi.
I think that we need to issue an executive order from we the people demanding that this farce be stopped.
Right.
And we need to send this to absolutely everybody. We have to get all the businesses to sign it.
Mm-hmm.
We make this something that can be easily reproduced.
Uh-huh.
We send 10 a week.
Mm-hmm.
We get everybody we know to send 10 a week, and we absolutely inundate them through the mails,
mm-hmm.
through emails, through social media, demanding what we know is right.
I agree. Thank you for that. Really appreciate the phone call. Yes. And that's what I'm saying. We have a constitution that was already bled and died for. We already have that. So why aren't we using that to the full extent? Because that's what they're afraid of. They're afraid that people would be too smart in recognizing that the smoke and mirrors behind their elusive power is going to topple everything that we want, that they're always going to win, and that's not the case. It hasn't been the case in history either, if you really look at it. So it's a great lesson for us right now, is to go, now listen, we dust yourself off, let's go. I mean, we want to be easy, it's not. Hi, caller, welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm done with politics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a lady that's on your station.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Beth Ann. She's the
Chris
secretary
Ann.
Brownfield.
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But go ahead. Because we're on the national show, so I'm not sure what state. I'm not sure.
Oh,
but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, they were from Missouri.
Uh-huh.
And years ago, they had a get-together called Well-Fed Neighbors, where each neighbor would participate in gardening and that.
Good.
And I think we just need to get away from the government because
I
don't think it's going to change.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Thank you for that. I think we keep an eye on government because they can change those laws, but they also need a host of people to implement those laws too. And right now in our country, we are not in 40 years from now slave mentality. So we have to take advantage of that. You know, we're not 40 years in where we were trained up to be a slave and are happy about it or trying to be happy about it. No, we know what's going on in this country and why aren't we calling it? Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Thank you.
Sure.
In reference to the caller before the last one, we did sign a document. Have you heard of People's Rights?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It's awesome.
So
yeah.
We had a document that we signed, I think it was Take Action.
Mm-hmm.
And we signed this document. I don't wear masks. I go where
mm-hmm.
I want to.
Sure.
I claimed my freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to Take Action, I believe that was, you know, But he has a really great idea. If we could just get that out there and have more and more people sign this document and send it to our legislature and our officials and say, we're not going to do this.
Yeah.
We are free.
Yeah. Thank you. I love that. Thank you for that. Really appreciate that. People's rights. You can Google that too. You know, I put up a post, a Simpson post, and it said, you know, I fought the good fight in 2020. I put up, you know, I posted a ridiculous amount of memes. It's true, right? We kind of think that even if we just sign or we just take a look, it was so hard to get even people to call a congressman, right? To even call their office, to even shoot off a letter. We act like this is such, you know, like this is like the end of my activism. You know, I signed a signature. Why isn't everything great? But we have to keep on signing. We have to keep on looking. You have to hold their feet to the fire. When I started out the show, I said, look, you know, we're in a situation where most people for 20, 30, 40 years, 50 years, didn't even look at the representative. We relied on the parties, right? And we bought into the party nonsense, and we didn't even look at what they were about. We showed up on election day, we got a sticker. A monkey can do a lever on a voting machine. And we thought that the fight was over. We were never taking into account that once they got into office, they weren't doing what they said they would do. They backstabbed you every second on the right and the left. We never, ever took that into account. We didn't go after them when they broke their promises. We didn't hold their feet to the fire. And so now we don't even know how to do that. Do you know how to track a bill? I'm going to have a guest on that knows how to track a bill, okay? So we can all get the fundamental understanding of that. We're going to have to fight them and put more pressure on these people while at the same time we're protecting our businesses by forming PACs like Italy just did. Italy had 50,000 businesses, bars and restaurants. Look, if we do that in America, if we're working on both, you sign the petitions, you go after their records, you go after and you say, you just broke your promise. You say, why are we in a state of emergency? This is a crock of crap. It's for the cash. We don't need the cash. We make plenty of money in our state. You're robbing us enough with high taxes. That's not going to be okay. And then we go off and at the same time, protect our businesses, take off the mask, call their BS, stop doing what they want you to do. Stop falling in line like an obedient little soldier. What are we now at a year in and we're waiting for them to tell us it's safe? The same government that just provided you with the biggest theft on record? You're waiting for them to tell you you're safe? You trust these people? Oh, heavens no. So this is the time when we start doing double duty, triple duty. You can't just do one little thing. You can't just send one little letter off a year anymore. Now we've got to start educating all those. If the caller was right, and there's only 5% that are properly educated, that 5% now has to do 100 times the work to educate. 100 times, because we still have a constitution in play. It's still there. That is and provides the law for this country. And you know what? In a real court of law with a good judge, I don't know how they can bypass that. So we still have a very good fight and a huge advantage. You tell me who else had a constitution like us when these people came to take our country. Come on. We got the biggest advantage known to man. I'll be right back with Alison Armstrong. You're going to love her. You're going to love this. We're going to talk about men and women, which, you know what? We're all dealing with that, right? Relationships. And so this will hit home for everybody. She's got a lot of words of wisdom, and she is so busy out there saving relationships. It's like crazy. It's fun. Anyway, Allison's a gem. I'll be right back with Allison and KateDallyRadio.com for the podcast.